Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 20th in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. We also are convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful solutions we still have at our fingertips. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. We are indeed live 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use at your fingertips. It is live every morning, depending on your time zone. But then it's available 24/7 on demand at lovingliberty.net. You can download the iPhone and Android apps. You can check it out online. It's on Apple and Google and all the different Spotify, TuneIn, I mean, all the different media services. We are available at your fingertips. Check it out. Donate today as well, would you please? LovingLiberty.net, LibertyRoundtable.com. A quick recap of Friday's broadcast makes sense. First, we had on our guest, Mr. Chris Carlson. He always says, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. And we had a discussion of all things liberty, ladies and gentlemen. We talked about, quote, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, Ronald Reagan and the rise of supply side economics, ladies and gentlemen, holds that increasing the supply of goods and services translates to economic growth for a country. And in supply side fiscal policy, practitioners often focus on, quote, cutting taxes. That's always a good thing. Lowering borrowing rates. That's, again, manipulation. And deregulating industries, which they should have never regulated in the first place. And they believe that will foster increased production, and temporarily it seems to. But it's not true, ladies and gentlemen. You got to have the free market, supply and demand, and natural interplay. Okay? Anytime you disrupt that, you are playing games. David Allen Stockman wrote a book about this, ladies and gentlemen. It's entitled The Great Defamation, The Corruption of Capitalism in America is the book, and it's well done. And we talked about the rise of China. We talked about the Reagan Revolution was indeed a revolution, but not one that benefited the American people, ladies and gentlemen. China thanks Reagan and his supporters for their magnificent growth, because as we've had trade deficits for 50 years and the communist Chinese have had trade surpluses, the growth of the communist warfare state has emerged. The fall of communism in the Soviet Union, ladies and gentlemen, was a carefully crafted deception. Joel Skousen, in his World Affairs Brief, breaks that down like nobody's business. One of the most glaring aspects of the, quote, Reagan and Trump presidencies was the fact that neither of them questioned the legitimacy of the Federal Reserve System, nor do they abolish the Department of Education. You got to ask the questions, why, ladies and gentlemen? Why? Anyway, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. You got to wonder why. You really do. You got to think about it and go, what the heck's going on around here? Anyway, there you have that. And that's a recap of hour one. And since we're talking about the Federal Reserve, I'm going to save the recap of hour two. And I'm going to go straight into this. Ron Paul exposes the Federal Reserve failure. All right. I want to get into this here a little bit. It's important. Ron Paul exposes the Federal Reserve's failure. Cameron will dial this up here, and we'll listen to Ron Paul on this. Very, very interesting detail from Ron Paul. All right. Hopefully that's coming up here in a second.
Hello, this is Ron Paul with your weekly update for Monday, November 15th. What do the Federal Reserve and neoconservatives have in common? They both refuse to admit that their policies, the neocons' promotion of perpetual war, and the Fed's manipulation of the money supply are complete failures, having produced the opposite of the promised results. The latest example of the Federal Reserve engaging in Bill Kristol's like levels denial is the Fed's continued insistence that the return of the 70s-style inflation is a transitory phenomenon resulting from the end of the lockdowns. The Fed has acknowledged the transitory inflation will last until at least 2022, yet it is still determined to keep interest rates at or near zero until the jobs situation improves. To be fair, the Fed has finally announced plans to cut back on its money printing activities by reducing by $15 billion a month its monthly purchase of $80 billion of Treasury bonds and $40 billion of mortgage-backed securities. It is unlikely that the Fed will stick to its plans to taper its purchase of Treasury bonds. The Fed's Treasury bond purchases enable the federal government to run up the debt without increasing taxes or paying punishingly high interest rates on the debt. The Congressional Budget Office projects that by 2030, the federal debt increased interest rates will more than double to $829 billion. That is more than the government spent on the military in 2020. Despite the looming fiscal crisis, Congress is unlikely to cut spending anytime soon. Instead, Congress members are debating a $1.75 trillion social spending plan, having just passed a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. Contrary to the claims of President Biden and his allies, this new spending will not reduce inflation. What it will do is hasten the inevitable economic crisis caused by government overspending. Of course, most Republicans will continue to oppose big increases in spending and debt. As long as Democrats sit in the Oval Office, a Republican who becomes president will likely believe, as Dick Cheney had said, that President Reagan taught us that deficits don't matter. The difference between the parties is Republicans are less likely to raise taxes. So no matter who controls Congress and the presidency, spending and debt can keep increasing. Thanks for calling.
To repeat the announcement.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. So Ron Paul breaks this down like nobody's business. The out-of-control spending we're experiencing. Ron Paul exposes the Federal Reserve and the neocons. Okay, it's a Federal Reserve problem. I get it. But again, as I ended yesterday's first hour with Chris Carlson, you know, the federal government literally has the Federal Reserve. And you know what? Reagan didn't challenge it. They jettisoned honest money in the late 60s. Reagan didn't challenge it. Trump made a couple of statements about it, but not much. Ron Paul back in 2008 and 2012 in his two presidential runs. I know he ran in 88 before that, so don't call me and tell me he ran three times. I know. But the two latest runs of Ron Paul, he literally highlighted and underscored the problem of the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve is what allows governments to print whatever money they want to out of thin air and allows them to literally fund military, the military-industrial complex. It allows them to really fund and do whatever they want to, and that's really the crisis and the problem, right? So Ron Paul exposed the failure, but we tie that directly to the neocons. Why didn't Trump or Reagan, the, quote, two greatest conservative presidents in our lifetime, why didn't either of them really push back on the Education Department and shut it down? Or the Federal Reserve, right? I'll get into the Federal Reserve in just a second. But our second hour yesterday, we had on our friend Brandon Beckham. He's the author of The Powerful Resolution Against Critical Race Theory in Utah Government Schools. And that's true across the country, ladies and gentlemen. Brandon doing a great job. And we talked about what is SEL, Parents Pushback Against CRT Trojan Horse. What is SEL, you ask? Social Emotional Learning. But it's nothing but a gateway to the critical race theory hardcore agenda, folks. It's just softer peddled. All right, the FBI is using counterterrorism tools to track parents. What on earth? Even Jim Jordan in Congress says Attorney General Garland literally needs to explain why the FBI is doing this to innocent parents. Answer, I can tell you, Jim, listen up, my friend, because your government's in bed with these terrorists. That's why, to destroy everything we hold dear. And the Federal Reserve is at the center of that discussion. What are we to do? How do we reject this subversive agenda and remove critical race theory from our society and schools? The answer is you get your kids out of the government school, first of all. And the second thing you do is you challenge this dishonest lie at every turn. Brandon's putting together a film project to help us with the facts, with the evidence, so that you don't have to just get in everybody's face, but you can encourage people to watch the film. It's called American Identity, The Rise of Critical Race Theory. Great film coming out soon. He's working on it. But that's a lot of good work by Brandon Beckham and others, I'm telling you right now. So we thank them for their work, for their efforts. But this is what I mean. Why didn't they abolish the Education Department when Reagan and Trump both had the chance? Because the neocons aren't really for getting rid of the Education Department. They know it's a great selling point when they run for office. But when they get in office, they're not interested. It's kind of like how Trump ran around and said, lock her up. But then he got in office. He's like, why would I lock up my friend Hillary? There you go. All right. And when we come back, I'll talk more about the Federal Reserve, more about our belligerent, out-of-control spending. We'll do it all in seconds on your radio.
As you all know, Roe versus Wade has resulted in some of the most permissive abortion laws anywhere in the world. For example, in the United States, it's one of only seven countries to allow elective late-term abortions, along with China, North Korea, and others. Right now, in a number of states, the laws allow a baby to be born from his or her mother's womb in the ninth month. It is wrong. It has to change. Americans are more and more pro-life. You see that all the time. In fact, only 12% of Americans support abortion on demand at any time. Under my administration, we will always defend the very first right in the Declaration of Independence, and that is the right to life.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. Hard-hitting talk always on your radio. So we talked about yesterday how the Republicans really talk big. The neocons talk big. But they don't get rid of the Education Department. Neither Reagan did it. Neither did Trump do it. And now we got critical race theory in the FBI after all the people over education. So parents are in the crosshairs of the FBI really because Trump and Reagan didn't get rid of the Education Department. The Republicans have been talking about this incredibly important item in the elections, but when they get elected, they jettison it as fast as you can imagine. Why? Because they're neocons. And Ron Paul does a good job of exposing the neocons. Ron Paul exposes the Federal Reserve failure and the neocon Education Department failure in the process. Hey, there's a direct link between out-of-control belligerent military and the Federal Reserve, right? Right now, Rand Paul, his son, literally is in Congress saying, hey, we're in trouble financially. Why? Because everybody's responsible. Who? Republicans, Democrats, everybody, the whole body is responsible for spending us into oblivion. They're not going to save any money. Rand Paul tried to put a single penny budget plan in place where we would literally shave one penny off every dollar spent in an effort to decrease spending. And everybody laughed at him and ignored him and did nothing. Right? So Ron's been preaching it for years. Now his son Rand preaching it for years. And now here's the latest. When we tell you they're going to spend your money with reckless abandon, here it is. Headline, House passes Biden's, quote, Build Back Better bill. Roughly a $2 trillion bill. Listen. With climate initiatives, expansions in affordable housing, and free preschool. Now heads to the Senate, ladies and gentlemen. There you have it. Now, it's unlikely to do very well in the Senate, some say. Time will tell. But they say we got to deal with the economic crises that are facing real Americans. But you know what? They say we need to work on this bill. The Republicans won't support it, they say. But will they? They're literally expanding all kinds of programs, all kinds of socialism, ladies and gentlemen. But I ask you, what do you expect? The whole body's been doing this for decades. This isn't anything new. It's not like we haven't seen this before. It's not like this is the shocker. And you'd say, well, what about the Republicans, Sam? Well, let's talk about the Republicans for a minute, shall we? These are the guys that are supposedly the good guys, right? These are the good guys, aren't they? The Republicans, the ones that don't want to spend as much as the other guys. Is that what we're told? See, but we always get betrayed by our own party, right? It's always, ladies and gentlemen, a close encounter of the third kind. It's on crack crazy. Headline, 32 Republicans voted for Biden's infrastructure bill. Okay? Think about that for a minute. 32 Republicans signed his infrastructure bill. Now, understand that the Build Back Better and the infrastructure bill, I think, are two different bills, right? Understand that. They're both massive spending bills. Huge. Between the two, we're talking $4 trillion or some crazy thing, right? Now, they say the legislation passed with support from most congressional Democrats, as well as 19 Republicans in the House, and I'm sorry, 19 senators and 13 GOP House members. Yes, several Republican lawmakers were scheduled to attend President Joe Biden's ceremony at the White House where he signed his $1.2 trillion. Oh, yeah. It's a trillion infrastructure bill into law. Wow. The legislation passed with support from most Democrats, as well as 19 Republican senators and 13 GOP House members. Now, I submit to you that the bills would have been DOA. Did you hear me? Dead on arrival. Had the Republicans not caved and backed the Dems in this. The latter, meaning the Republicans, faced a backlash with their votes getting scorned by former President Trump. And I commend Trump, by the way, for shaming them for this. He slammed the House members as rhinos who should be ashamed of themselves. And I get that. And I think Trump's right for scolding them for this. But you know what? That's the pattern. That's what they always do. Biden invited everybody who supported the bill because he felt like that was the right thing to do, White House Secretary Jen Psaki basically said. Whether people come or not, that's their choice, she said. So now you got, Joe Biden pitching the moral high ground. I want everybody to come and celebrate with me. I'm nonpartisan. I'm bipartisan. I'm whatever. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska was expected. I mean, think about that. They say, I'll work with anyone from any party as she faces election. See? Rob Portman of Ohio. This guy's a nutcase, too. We're going to fix that dang bridge of yours, they say. Now, again, he's coming up for election. They say, oh, we got a long-running headache once and for all about the infrastructure in America. I get it, but most of this is not infrastructure, ladies and gentlemen. We're literally spending close to $4 trillion, and most of it's not infrastructure at all. Right? That's what we're talking about. That's the problem here. They say this bipartisan bill is the right way to reinvest in our country. Unlike Democrats' reckless tax and spending spree, which I strongly oppose. Now, Susan Collins is another one. All right, they say Romney of Utah, this guy's a Republican, who's among a bipartisan group of lawmakers who helped negotiate the bill. Oh, boy. They act like this is the great bill, the great solution, but in my opinion, it's absolutely spend us into oblivion. I voted for this infrastructure bill because it was the right thing to do for the American people. But I look at that, and it's not about our infrastructure. Yes, there's some infrastructure stuff in the bill, but it's a whole lot more about spending us into oblivion than it is infrastructure. So I say, you know, these two bills together, the Build Back Better bill that just passed the House, $2 trillion with climate initiatives. You think that's a expansion in affordable housing? Free preschool. Now heads to the Senate, ladies and gentlemen. So free preschool. So the Republicans need to understand. You just voted for free preschool. All right? What does that mean? It means critical race theory taught at a younger age to your children. When you're supposed to be abolishing the education department, you're literally funding critical race theory. And then when parents get mad that you're doing that, the FBI gets sicked on them. And then you Republicans stand by and go, you got to elect the Republicans so they can save us from the Democrats. How long? How long will we be stupid enough to accept this Hegelian dialectic left-right paradigm lie, huh? Anyway, there you have that. I thought I'd bring that to your attention. I know everybody wants to talk about Rittenhouse, so let's do it. Let's do it now. Jury finds Kyle Rittenhouse innocent of all charges. Let me say this again. Jury finds Kyle Rittenhouse innocent of all charges. Jury finds it to be a clear case of self-defense. What do you think of that, ladies and gentlemen? Innocent of all charges. Jury finds, right, a clear case of self-defense. This is really important to understand, ladies and gentlemen. And I mentioned to you before on the radio, before this trial culminated in an innocent decision, I told you this was about your right to keep and bear arms, ladies and gentlemen. This was not just about Kyle. And you could say, oh, Kyle was crazy with a gun. No, not true. You say, well, Kyle shouldn't have handed the gun. No, not true. Quit lying, mainstream press, dishonest liberal extremists. Quit lying. Jury finds Kyle Rittenhouse innocent of all charges. Jury finds a clear case of self-defense. We'll talk more about this in seconds on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Protests breaking out across the nation after Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty of murdering two protesters and wounding a third. Around 100 of them showing up outside the Barclays Center in New Jersey. Meanwhile, reactions still coming into the verdict, including from former President Donald Trump.
I think that it was a great decision. I was surprised it had to go this far. Somebody should have ended it earlier. And frankly, the case should have never been brought. It was prosecutorial misconduct, in my opinion.
That audio courtesy of Fox News. La Nina is back for a second year and gaining strength in the Pacific Ocean. The Federal Climate Prediction Center saying there's a 90% chance of the snowy weather system sticking around through February. Forecasters believe Oregon and Washington will have a wetter winter because of La Nina. USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio is looking for a co-host. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nationally syndicated radio show and popular podcast, Rockstar Radio with Billy Gerard, is looking for a co-host. In fact, two segment co-hosts. One will join Billy weekly talking about all things financial, and another for a weekly review of the national real estate and mortgage market. Co-hosting with Billy Gerard could be the move that puts your career into overdrive. For all the details and to schedule an audition with Billy, send an email to bill@rockstar.today. That's bill@rockstar.today. Or go to rockstar.today/co-host for all the details. Rockstar Radio is looking for two expert co-hosts. It could be you. Email bill@rockstar.today or go to rockstar.today/co-host. Being on the radio with Billy will make you the expert in the field. It could take your career over the moon. Get all the audition details at rockstar.today/co-host.
The head of the CDC is endorsing the use of COVID-19 vaccine boosters for all adults. Dr. Rochelle Walensky gave her blessing hours after the CDC's vaccine advisors voted unanimously to recommend booster shots of both Pfizer and Moderna's vaccines. The boosters are now approved for all adults 6 months after they have received their first two doses. The CDC strongly encourages older people and those with underlying medical conditions to get their boosters before the holiday season. A White House turkey is getting a presidential pardon. President Biden on Friday upheld the long-standing White House tradition by pardoning a turkey before Thanksgiving. He started the Rose Garden event by promising to talk turkey and saying the names Peanut Butter and Jelly were selected for the two turkeys. Both birds will live out their lives at Purdue University in Indiana. The pardoning of Thanksgiving turkeys dates back to the Truman administration. USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. What am I talking about now? Kyle Rittenhouse, of course. I talked about the Federal Reserve for the first half hour and dishonest money and how Ron Paul exposes the Federal Reserve's failure and exposes the neocons. And I helped expose them as we talk about House passes Biden's Build Back Better bill. $2 trillion bill with all kinds of garbage in it. Also, 32 Republicans voted for Biden's, quote, infrastructure bill. We're talking over about $4 trillion with it all, I think, or something like that, $3 to $4 trillion. Wow, it's just insanity. But, you know, nobody wants to talk about the real cause of our problems. They want to talk about what the media wants to talk about, which is Kyle Rittenhouse. And I told you that this was a real issue for all of us. Because your right to keep and bear arms, really your right to self-defense is at stake here. But the jury finds Kyle Rittenhouse innocent. I'm going to say that again. Innocent of all charges. Jury finds a clear case of self-defense. Well, liberals are absolutely out of their minds dealing with this, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely out of their minds. They don't even know what to do. Celebrities are going off. Everybody's just absolutely been triggered like you wouldn't believe. But ladies and gentlemen, this is the way the mainstream press works. They want you to dishonestly believe their narrative. The judge literally turned it over to the jury, and the jury evaluated the whole thing and looked at the facts and said, hey, we don't believe Rittenhouse is guilty. He tried to run away from people. Other people pulled guns on him first. He literally was involved in self-defense. And anybody who pays attention realizes that that's so obvious. The problem for the liberal mind is that they can't stand this because it clearly demonstrates the value of a God-given right being used properly. What is that right? The right of self-defense, ladies and gentlemen. And you know what? When women have a gun, it's called a rape me not, in my opinion, because, hey, the guy's going to get stopped, isn't he? Okay, in Kyle's case, it was a kill me not. Well, sadly, a couple of other people died, and I'm so sad about that. I don't want that, but why did they confront him? Why did the one guy admit in court, I had a gun on Kyle? The other guy trying to literally reach for and take the gun from Kyle. What was he going to do with that gun? Just be like, hey, now that I've disarmed you, let's go peacefully, traipsing through the tulips? I mean, come on. Okay, but you know what? The judge was very happy. You could tell in his demeanor. I'm going to play this soundbite now of exactly what happened with the verdict. Here it is, and then we'll talk about it.
Has the jury reached a verdict as to each count of the information?
Yes, we have.
All right, members of the jury, have you elected a foreperson? Would you give your juror number, please?
54.
54. And has the jury reached a verdict as to each count of the information?
Yes, we have, Your Honor.
One verdict and one verdict only.
Yes.
Would you hand all of the paperwork to the bailiff, please?
This is the ones that he didn't know.
Yeah, okay. Everything.
Okay.
Yeah, thanks. May I see that too, please, Mrs. Chairman? Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to talk really quick while the guy, what they're doing is they're turning over all the paperwork related to the jury. It'll continue here in just a second, but they're putting all the paperwork together and assembling it all. And then they're going to go through the counts and explain them, you know, say, hey, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. But, all right, here it is.
State of Wisconsin versus Kyle Rittenhouse. As the first count of the information, Joseph Rosenbaum. We, the jury, find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the second count of the information, Richard McGinnis, we the jury find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the third count of the information, unknown male, we the jury find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the fourth count of the information, Anthony Huber, we the jury find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty. As to the fifth count of the information, Gage Grosskreutz, we the jury find the defendant, Kyle H. Rittenhouse, not guilty.
Members of the jury, are these your unanimous verdicts? Is there anyone who does not agree with the verdicts as read?
No.
Would you wish the jury pulled?
No.
Okay. Okay, folks, your job is done, and we started just about 3 weeks ago. And I told you it could last 2 weeks and 2 days. This is 3 weeks.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. So the verdicts, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. Clear as a bell, everyone across, all five of them, plus the gun charge the judge dismissed. So everybody's unified on this, those who have looked into the facts on this case. Now, I want to play the rest of this soundbite because the judge is very appropriate and is explaining of the conditions and circumstances relating to the jury. He's very cheerful, I might add, in doing so. This is really important to understand. Let's break this part down. I know it's a little bit long, but hang with me. There's a reason I'm focusing on it. Listen carefully to the terms, the details that the judge gives them. He's very cheerful. He's happy about the outcome because the judge knows the truth as well. Here he is.
You were a wonderful jury to work with. You were punctual. You were attentive. The forgotten six over here who had a very difficult job of keeping from discussing the case during the time that they were sequestered as well. All of you, I couldn't have asked for a better jury to work with. And it has truly been my pleasure. Without commenting on your verdict, the verdicts themselves, just in terms of your the attentiveness and the cooperation that you gave to us justifies the confidence that the founders of our country placed in you. So I dismiss you at this time. You're never under any obligation to discuss any aspect of this case with anyone. You're welcome to do so as little or as much as you want. The media have requested, a number of media sources have requested the ability to talk to you, and they have been allowed to present presentations to you that you'll get in writing, and it's entirely up to you whether you want to contact them. They are not to contact you. If anyone does contact you and just you know, tell them you're not interested in discussing it, if that's the case, and if anyone persists in doing so, report that to us and it will be addressed, I assure you. At the beginning of the trial, there was some concern about information and your safety, and I assure you that we will take every measure to ensure that that is your concerns are addressed and respected. I'm going to talk to you for just a minute, not about anything to do with the case, but just about that sole issue. And you, as I say, you're welcome to discuss the case as little or as much as you want. Any questions, anybody? Thank you so much.
Now, I find that fascinating. The judge says, look, I'm not going to comment on the case. It is what it is. I commend you all for doing such a stellar job, for paying attention, for understanding, for cooperating. But then he says you can talk about the case as little as you want to or as much as you want to. You're free to do whatever you want. He repeats himself on that reality. That's really important. And then he says, look, if people are bugging you, you know what? You don't want to talk, but they continue to bug you, let me know and I'll stop it. No harassment going on, jury. But you're free to do whatever you want to. You have no restrictions now. I think that's completely appropriate. And then he really doubles down and says, you know what? I'm so grateful for working with you. You guys give me confidence and hope in the future of America. That, you know what? You guys did your job. The founding fathers' understanding of innocent until proven guilty was upheld today. And so he basically refers, and I don't want to put words in his mouth. You heard him. But he literally appealed to the founding father-esque understanding of the justice system and the juries in America, a very unique quality of the greatest country on the face of the earth. And he literally taught, I mean, the judge mentioned the founding fathers and mentioned that, you know what, this jury is carrying forward a founding father-esque, I don't know what you call it, view or effort today in modern juries. And to me, that's really, really something to speak about. Really something that's tremendous, right? Right? I mean, that's really amazing. Wow. I'm impressed with the judge, ladies and gentlemen. Not only was he very clear, very appropriate, understood founding father-esque view and all that, but he was cheerful and he seemed kind. And he seemed grateful that our system's working. Isn't that impressive? Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Kyle Rittenhouse and playing the jury's responses and playing the judge's comments right after the verdict. Just impressive as they really talked about, the judge talked about America and how the system is working. Now, liberals are out of their minds over this. Well, I don't know if you know this, but this just shows how dishonest and immoral and degrading and I'm going to just flat out say wicked. Facebook and Twitter are. You say, what? How did all this come about, Sam? Well, I don't know if you know, but Facebook and Twitter literally banned anybody supporting Kyle Rittenhouse. So in America, you should be able to support or not support whoever you want. The mainstream press was free to run around and do whatever they want to in siding with, I don't know with who. See, because to me, you don't take sides. You might have an opinion about guilt or innocence. But innocence is the side that you need to be on until proven guilty. That's the American way. Well, anybody who backed Kyle, anybody who was for Rittenhouse, literally was shut down, banned on Facebook and Twitter. Okay? And it's insanity, folks. But if you're on the side that, you know, Rittenhouse is guilty and he's evil and he's a murderer and he, you know, had a gun he shouldn't have and you go on and on and on and on and on. In other words, if you put guilt forward in the court of public opinion, then you're allowed to do whatever you want to. But if you believe that he was innocent, if you side with him, if you defend his innocence, then you are shut down on Facebook and Twitter, literally banned. Well, now there's a huge debate. You ready for it? Facebook and Twitter silent on whether Kyle Rittenhouse support is still banned. So let me explain this again. They ban you if you backed or supported in any way Kyle. But now that Kyle is innocent until proven guilty, that's the standard we should have had all along. And now that the jury says, hey, you know what? Not guilty, not guilty, not guilty. Right? Jury finds Kyle Rittenhouse innocent of all charges. Jury finds clear case of self-defense, so he's innocent. Right? The jury says so. The judge acknowledged it. The judge even doubled down and talked about how fine the jury was, talked about the American system working. Incredible, builds his confidence. All right, now, what does Twitter and Facebook say now? Well, they're silent. Can you back Rittenhouse now? And what they're doing is literally controlling the debate in America. Anybody who believes in Kyle Rittenhouse was shut down, but now that Rittenhouse won, what is Facebook and Twitter going to do? They're silent on whether support for Kyle is still banned. Think about that, ladies and gentlemen. If you want the most chilling case I can find, there it is for you. There it is for you. I kind of go, what on earth? Yeah, so Kyle's innocent and wins, but people are going, am I still banned or can I talk about Kyle now? Think about over time how that will change the course of America when people can't get the truth. Let's say my arguments in defense of Kyle before he won, because I defend innocence until proven guilty. And because I believe he has a right to keep and bear arms, and that right shall not be infringed, Second Amendment-esque. And because I believe you have a God-given inalienable right of self-defense, I sided with Kyle. But because Facebook and Twitter disagree with me on that, they would shut me down, right? Well, now that Kyle's won, we don't even know if they'll let people back or support or what Kyle, even though he's innocent, even though he won, even though he was right in the case. It reminded me of the Richard Mack Bill Clinton case back in the day. You know, Bill Clinton said, we're going to use the Brady Bill and we're going to go after you, sheriffs. You got to carry the ball for us. And Richard Mack said, no. And Bill Clinton said, I'll arrest you. And Sheriff Mack said, we'll see. And they went to the Supreme Court and Sheriff Mack won. Bill Clinton lost. But you know what? All those people that were against the sheriff that whole time, now what? Well, we chill debate in America, and we chill our ability to explain and articulate and work through these issues. And now that Facebook and Twitter have such a, I'm going to use the word tourniquet hold on the media, they can choke off blood flow, the life's blood of conversation and education and news in America. They can literally just crank down that tourniquet and say, we're going to shut you down. We don't like what you have to say. But you know what? You better like what we have to say, because we preached innocence for Kyle. The jury delivered innocence to Kyle, and the judge acknowledged that. The law's on our side here. Now what is our Facebook control? I think that Kyle basically should sue them. I think Kyle should go back and sue the socks off Facebook and Twitter and say, listen, you guys are beyond just a private company doing what you want. Number one, you took government money to build to who you are today. You're playing political politics to the umpteenth degree. I could have lost because you guys were so against me that you flat out shut down one side of the debate to the point where, you know what, it could have affected the jury and affected the outcome. I could have been irreparably harmed from this. And then furthermore now, hey, you're banning people from siding with me. I know Kyle Rittenhouse and others are trying to raise money now to deal with his tremendous legal bills. I think it's Wendy Rittenhouse just emailed me and a bunch of other people saying, hey, can you help us raise some money for this? Well, I bring this up because this is what I mean. How does that affect his ability to raise money when, again, they still put a ban on this? Now, let's take this same principle about Kyle. And I mentioned that it really manipulates debate and everything else. But what about, ladies and gentlemen, what about elections? Yeah, when Facebook and Twitter literally shut people down who have views they don't like, right? Where do we go with that, right? How do we deal with that? Because when it comes to elections, it's even more blatant manipulation of the public view, of the people's understanding. And I submit to you that people are going to basically do their very best, but they're subject to what they not only hear, see, read, but also what they don't get to hear, see, and read. How can you make right decisions, right? How can you make decisions, correct decisions, I might add, on information you don't receive? In other words, you don't know what you don't know, right? How do you make decisions on information that's withheld from you so you don't know? And let's just take, for example, this Kyle Rittenhouse situation. You know, most people don't understand the constitutional-esque side of the discussion. They don't understand the innocent until proven guilty discussion. They don't understand that the court of public opinion is not the way to go. That's not where the decisions are made. Try the court of a jury of your peers. Okay? We're talking about Americans gaining the knowledge inside about what really happened and didn't really happen, and somebody making sure that they really get the real facts on it so they can make decisions. But this court of public opinion idea where Rittenhouse is guilty, why? Because Twitter and Facebook say so, because you're not allowed to say anything if you side with them. We'll just shut you down. To the point where most Americans don't even understand the real facts of the case. They don't understand the innocent until proven guilty viewpoint of America. They don't understand the constitutional, God-given, inalienable rights of self-defense. And over time, you can say, well, Americans understand that, Sam. Some of them do. But as we have more and more and more government slash media control of what we hear, see, and think, and read, over time, it will take its toll to where Americans won't understand these things anymore. I believe that's where we're headed. And that's why I push back so hard against it. Anyway, a very interesting headline from people who are now questioning Facebook and Twitter. Facebook and Twitter silent on whether Kyle Rittenhouse support is still banned. Imagine that. Why would it be banned in the first place? What if people want to support Kyle? What if people want to run around and say, I believe that Kyle's innocent until proven guilty? Should they be allowed to say that in America? Is that a fundamental truth that ought to be able to be taught? Not only that, but expressed? Not according to Facebook and Twitter. Not according to these gatekeeping thugs. And you say, Sam, remember your call for civility.com website. I am. And that's why I'm not attacking individuals. I'm merely saying that, hey, this kind of shutting down discussion is so anti-American, it's not even funny. You say, Sam, well, you won't have somebody on that advocates for Kyle's prosecution, would you? Yes, I would. Come on the radio. Give me a ring. My email address, libertyroundtable@gmail.com. My phone number, 801-756-9133. That's my office number. Call me. Email me. You want to advocate for the prosecution of Kyle? I'll have a discussion and a debate with you about it. I'm not interested in shutting down either side of the discussion. I'm interested in educating Americans, giving them both sides of the debate, and then letting the American people decide for themselves. Because you know what? Ladies and gentlemen, you know what? The American people are incredibly intelligent. And I am positive, ladies and gentlemen, if the American people get the correct information, they will make the right decisions almost all the time. Especially the majority of the people, ladies and gentlemen. And so I'm not afraid of the debate. I am not afraid of the American people getting information. Why? Because I'm confident in the people. I don't need to shut down the other side so that I create a vacuum and you only hear one side. I don't need to do that. In fact, I wouldn't want to do that because in my personal view, it violates everything we hold dear, ladies and gentlemen. Right? That's the problem that I have with it. I don't mind. I think we ought to really have open discussion about these things. And if you believe that Kyle Rittenhouse, the situation there is a problem, let's talk about why, shall we? Let's talk about your views. And if you can influence people to your side of the discussion, then by all means, go ahead. I'm not afraid of this discussion. And I'll tell you why. Because I also believe that I'm articulate enough to make my points. And I think if the American people hear the transparent reality of the discussion, they will side with what's right. I'm merely saying Kyle was innocent until proven guilty. Therefore, you got to somewhat be on Kyle's side. Whether you agree or disagree with what he did, whether you agree with anything, you agree with the principle in America that you're innocent until proven guilty. Okay, you're not agreeing with Kyle, you're agreeing with that principle. Well, by nature, you're somewhat on Kyle's side if you do that, right? That was the intent of the founders. All right, but hey, Facebook and Twitter, as evil as they've become, they want to shut that down. Well, I fear for America if we only get one side of stories. I fear for America if they shut down and put a tourniquet on free speech, on free expression, on lively debates that can educate. Let me say that again, on lively debates that can educate. If we shut that down, we are missing one of the fundamental key features of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Don't let it happen. I'm going to do all that I can to make sure that it doesn't happen on my watch. I'll tell you that right now. Hour one of the can, hour two coming up. I am Sam Bushman. God bless all of you and thank you for all that you do. We declare this nation shall endure. LovingLiberty.net. God save the Republic.